All right, good evening. It's good to be back here once again. And I don't know about you, but I've been greatly encouraged and blessed by being here, just hearing the other missionaries sharing from their hearts what the Lord is doing in their hearts right now and in their lives and what He has been doing. It was so encouraging at the men's breakfast just to hear how God has used people in the lives of other people. And it's just a huge encouragement as Helene and I are thinking about heading out to the mission field for the first time as far as a foreign country, and just being able to have these other examples that we can look at and see how they walk by faith and not by sight. And so I've been greatly blessed, and it's been a privilege to be back here with each one of you. And we're very thankful for you guys, for this church, and the stands that you take on the Word of God. If you'd like, you can open up in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be looking at a few verses here. Tonight, I want to talk about partners in the gospel of Christ, and that's something I can say about Grace and Truth. You have partnered with not just Helene and myself, but many other missionaries in the work of Christ, and that's something that we all need to be doing, is partnering together around the gospel of Christ. As we know, Paul, at this time, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in jail for the cause of Christ. He dared to preach Christ as the true king rather than Caesar. And because of that, because of his boldness, his courage that only God could give him, death was a very real reality to him. Now think about this. Think about the Philippian believers here. Think about the Apostle Paul. Now let's say Pastor Miller was the Apostle Paul in the sense that he was in prison. How would you react if your pastor was in prison for preaching Christ as the only true God? How would I react to that? If Pastor Miller was in jail right now for preaching Christ, perhaps you, myself, we would disown him because of embarrassment, because of shame, or because of fear of what we might lose. If someone challenged you, you might say, "Oh, I don't really know Pastor Miller very well. I've only been to his church just a few times. I always thought he was a bit extreme." But then again, maybe you would find the strength that only God can give to stand in solidarity with him, perhaps by sending gifts, by praying for him, accepting the persecution of the authorities, and continuing to preach the name of Christ, preaching the message of Christ. Perhaps you would say, "Yes, my pastor is in prison for preaching Christ. And they, talking about the authorities, they can come and lock me up too if they want, because I will not stop confessing the truth that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord of all." Something to really think about. We don't face persecution today in northern Minnesota like the Apostle Paul and like the Philippian believers were facing at that time, but that time could be coming very quickly. As we're going to look tonight, we're going to see how these believers, how through the grace of God, they were willing to stand and encourage the Apostle Paul as he was sharing the gospel. And as he was thrown into jail for naming the name of Christ, these believers continued to pray for Paul. They continued to take a stand. They continued on with the work of Christ. Just because Paul was in prison didn't mean that the work had stopped in Philippi. So again, how would we respond to a situation like this? Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses here of Philippians chapter 1. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Father, thank you again for this time to look into your word. I pray that you would give me the words to say, that it wouldn't be about me, it would be all about you. The focus would be on the word of God, on Jesus Christ and what he has done. Father, help us to take a stand for what is right, that we take a stand on the word of God. Father, I pray that we would continue to partner together for the sake of the gospel. Thank you for grace and truth and their willingness to partner with many, many missionaries, many others who are naming the name of Christ. And thank you for them, for their testimony to us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, as Paul is opening this letter, he opens it with great joy because these believers remain faithful to the preaching of the gospel. And these believers, they didn't forget about Paul, even though he was in jail for naming the name of Christ. Again, in verse 4 and 5, it says, always, or back in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship or partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is continually thanking the Lord for these believers. And in the end of Philippians and in chapter 4, it gives some specific reasons why Paul was praising God for them. I'll begin reading in verse 10 here of chapter 4. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. So here he's saying that you cared for me, you showed me love and concern. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. What a good reminder there. In whatever state I am to be content. Content in the things that God has given me. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distresses. So these believers, they shared in Paul's distress. They were willing to partner with him. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Wow, what a testimony there. These believers, they were willing to partner with Paul by sharing financially, by praying for them. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And then it talks about Epaphroditus, how he was a sweet-smelling aroma. And just, it was a wonderful reminder as I was looking at these verses and how my responsibilities in partnering with others were sharing the gospel of Christ. Because I say I'm a missionary, I'm going over to France, that doesn't mean I don't need to help. I don't need to partner with Grace and Truth and the ministries that they're doing here. I'm called to be a partner of this because we're both striving for the sake of the gospel. That's our aim. That is our goal here in life. So I can be praying for you guys, and I should be praying. I am praying for you, thinking about the ministries that you're a part of, the To Be Free ministry, the different gospel clubs. You name it, being partners together for the gospel of Christ. Instead of abandoning Paul because of his imprisonment, these believers stood with him. They were partners together, that meaning joint participants in a common interest or activity. That common interest and activity, what was it? We've been talking about it all weekend. The gospel of Christ. That was a common interest. They were, both of them, the Philippian believers and Paul, they were actively preaching the gospel of Christ. Even though Paul was in prison, he continued on in his ministry of sharing his faith. And these believers were doing the same thing. always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, I love this verse, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ began a good work in us when we got saved, and he's continuing on working in our lives, continuing to help us grow and mature as believers in Christ, helping us become more like him. And he's not going to give up on us. He'll never forgive up on us. And he's going to continue to working in our lives until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day that he comes and brings us home to be with him in glory. And verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Paul, in verse 7 here, is bringing up their joint efforts or partnership in his missionary endeavors. When you look at the Greek here, you see that the phrase, because I have you in my heart, means not just Paul was thinking about the Philippians and all that they had done for him, but that the Philippians were praising God for all that Paul had done for them by sharing the gospel to them, how Paul trained them and taught them how to live a worthy walk, pleasing to the Lord. It went hand in hand. They were, again, partnering together, praising God for each other. We can do the same here. I praise God for this church again. I'm not trying to lift this church up above the Lord, but I know the Lord has used you greatly in my life and in my family's life. You've partnered together with us through your prayers, even your financial support, in many other ways that you have shown it to us. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Defense here is meaning defending the faith. Even though Paul was in prison, he had a wonderful opportunity to defend the faith, defend his faith in Christ. A successful defense would result in the gospel being confirmed to many. Here Paul was was able to stand before many, before Nero, before his throne. There's people most likely all around the world that were there in the courts. And here he was able to give a defense of his faith. He was able to share with them what Christ had done in his life and how Christ had drastically, dramatically changed him. Then he says, you are all partakers with me of grace. You are all partakers with me of grace. This is what they were partners in, the partakers of God's grace. The Philippians were co-sharers in the grace of God. They had a genuine love and concern for Paul, which exhibited their partnership with Paul. It was the grace of God that made them joint participants in the efforts of spreading the gospel. Verse 8 says, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. When you have a common bond with someone, your thoughts continually gravitate towards them. When you have a genuine love for someone, you continue to think about them. And as Paul grew in his love for the Lord, he grew in his love for others. His love for the Philippian believers grew. And as Paul's love for these believers grew, you know what? These believers in Philippi, their love for Christ grew and their love for Paul grew. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. The prayer Paul had was that their love would abound or overflow, that it would be abundant, the love of Christ in their lives. The love wasn't to just stop there, but rather be in knowledge and in discernment, meaning that they have a genuine spiritual knowledge of God and depth of insight into his ways, that they would continue to grow in their love for Christ. This is what enables Christians to love God and others, having this knowledge of God, this discernment that only God can give. And this is what Paul was praying for these believers. as they were partnering together for the sake of the gospel. Verse 10 continues on by saying, that you may approve the things that are excellent, to approve after testing, that you may test those things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. Speaking about not having any hypocrisy, not being a hypocrite, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And these are things that we can be praying for each other, that our love would abound still more and more, that we'll have more knowledge and discernment. You can be praying that for the DeMart family, for the Canary family, the Lipkas, and we can be praying that for you guys as a church. Be praying for each other that we may approve the things that are excellent, that are pleasing to the Lord, that we would be sincere, that we wouldn't be hypocrites. We'd be without offense, that we wouldn't be a stumbling block to those around us, that we'd be filled with the fruits of righteousness, that we'd have joy in our life, that there would be a peace that only God can give, that we'd be long-suffering, and so on. As partners together for the faith of the gospel, the response towards each other was to help each other and pray for each other. Paul urges the ordinary, everyday Christians in Philippi to remain strong in their gospel partnership, to keep standing up for Christ in the face of hostility and persecution. To live this way, he says, is merely to live in a manner worthy of the gospel itself. If you want, you can jump to verse 27 of Philippians 1. Only let your conduct, your manner of life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, talking about partnership, for the faith of the gospel. So only let your conduct or your manner of living be worthy of the gospel. And that's referring to citizenship, our citizenship which is in heaven. Here the Philippians, they were a part of the Roman colony. That meant they had the rights and privileges of being citizens of the Roman Empire. Paul reminds them that their king was not Caesar, and their true citizenship was not Rome. Their king was Jesus Christ, and their citizenship was heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Our citizenship is not here on this earth. We have responsibilities that we need to be doing right now, and that's sharing the gospel. But our longing, our joy should be heaven. We should be longing for that, looking forward to that. Again, living a life that is worthy, that your conduct would be worthy of the gospel of Christ. As partners in the gospel, they were to stand side by side as a united army fighting for that king to his honor and glory. Imagine an army going out. We have Chris here. He was in the Marines. Imagine the Marines when they're in Afghanistan and there wasn't unity among them. The generals and those in leadership, if they were fighting amongst each other, they all had different ideas on how to defeat the Taliban. How would that work? How would that army succeed in a place like that? They would fail. And each one of us, we're in the army of Christ. We have the Word of God as our authority. We have leaders, men who God has placed in leadership roles, our pastors and teachers. We need to respect them and honor them, not because of who they are, but because of what Christ has done in and through them. As partners, we need to put aside our differences and dislikes for the sake of unity. I'm not talking about compromising our beliefs. We should never compromise our beliefs. But we need to put aside those little things that irritate us. I need to put aside that perhaps Brackett, he likes to use Welch grape juice for the communion service, and I prefer Old Orchard grape juice. We need to put aside those little differences, whether we want what type of carpet or chairs or pews, whatever it may be. We need to put aside those little differences for the cause of Christ, for the gospel of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without complaining or murmurings and disputings, that we may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. How are we doing that? Are we complaining? Are we murmuring? Are you blameless and harmless? Children of God without fault? We live in a crooked world, a perverse world. But are we living our lives after them? Like them? I pray that as the end of verse 15 says, that we will shine as lights in this world. That we'll hold fast to the word of life. That we won't compromise our beliefs. That we won't compromise the gospel of Christ. And if we hold fast to the word of God, to the word of life, then we, like Paul's saying and praying, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain, that our walk on earth will not be empty. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Back in chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy. The word conduct comes from the Greek word, which means manner of life. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Ephesians 4:1. God has called each one of us, and his call is for us to have a worthy walk, a walk that counts for eternity, that will last for eternity. Don't walk after the things of this world. Don't seek to please yourself, to achieve all your personal goals and dreams and ambitions. Remember the mercies of God, all the things that God has done for us, even though we are undeserving of them. Remember that I can do all things, not through myself, but through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's how we can have a conduct, a walk, that is worthy of the gospel. As partners in the gospel, we need to stand fast in what we believe about the gospel. What we strive for should be the spread of the gospel of Christ. We are all partners together in Christ. We all have a responsibility to go out and share the gospel. Each one in this room tonight that's a child of God, we all have the responsibility to go out and share the gospel of Christ, that Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That's why we were created. We were created to glorify God, and if we're glorifying and praising God, it's only going to be natural for us to share our faith, to share the gospel of Christ. This is the Great Commission. And as we close this conference, I think it's only fitting that we turn to Matthew 28 and just look at these verses. Look at the Great Commission as we are partners together. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We need to recognize that the one who issued the Great Commission is the risen Savior to whom all authority has been given. We are commanded to go, but we can do it in assurance knowing that all authority belongs to Christ. We're to go. It says go, therefore. It's assumed. It's assumed that a child of God is going to go and share his faith. That you're going to go and make disciples. Acts 16:9 says, come over to Macedonia and help us. Here's an example of someone who was willing to go. Here, Paul, we had the Macedonian call, and Paul was willing to answer that call that God gave him. He went. If Paul does not come, if he would not go over there, he could not help them. If we do not go, we cannot accomplish our mission here on earth. If we are not willing to obey God and the commands he has given us, we cannot accomplish what God has intended for our lives. We all, I know each one of us, when we have a task in front of us, we want to accomplish it. We should want to accomplish what God wants for us in our lives. Not give up when the going gets tough, not to get discouraged when things aren't going our way, but continuing trusting in Christ, trusting in God that he's the one that will help us through. So go, therefore, and making disciples of all the nations. Now, what is the purpose of going? It's to make disciples. Obedience here is required. Obedience is required here. It is not just on the part of the one who brings the gospel message, but also on the part of the one who receives it. Disciples must do the will of their master. We must be obedient to our master, be obedient to his calling. And as disciples of Christ, our job again is to go and disciple others, to go and share Jesus Christ with them, encourage them in the Lord, train them so they in return can go and train others and share others their faith, share their testimonies. If you're a child of God tonight, you have a testimony. You have a testimony that you can share, not about yourself, but of what Christ has done in your life. It's been very encouraging, the church that we are attending right now with our communion service once a month. Different men in the church have gotten up and shared their testimonies of how they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And that is so encouraging and so refreshing to hear their testimonies of how God had changed their lives. It's encouraging to hear your testimonies. You know what? We can share that with others because it's the gospel that has changed our lives. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So again, it's the Father's work. It's not our work. All the praise, all the glory belongs to him. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So teaching them. What is to be taught? What are we supposed to teach others? All that God commanded us. Matthew 4:4, it says, And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So every word that came out of the mouth of God, that's what we need to share. We have the word of God right in front of us, and this is what we can share. This is what we must share. Not human reasoning, not human philosophies, not our opinions of things, but the word of God. Then the end of verse 20 is a comfort for, it should be a comfort for each one of us as we see that we're called to go out. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We don't have to go and do this in our own strength and by our own abilities. We have a promise here that we can claim, I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am the one that will give you the strength to continue on. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're partners in together. Partners in the gospel of Christ. I'm excited that I can partner with Neil and Rochelle and partner with them by praying for them. Perhaps I'll most likely never be able to go to Africa, but I can still be a partner in that work. Same with you. And we can be partners with the work up here. We're working together, striving together for the sake of the gospel. Pastor?